The president's decision may break a logjam on Capitol Hill and allow Congress to pass a debt ceiling extension by next week before the U.S. runs out of money to pay its bills. But the White House statement also said if the House and Senate cannot work out a satisfactory 1990 budget reconciliation bill, Mr. Bush will veto it. Republican Congressman Bill Frenzel of Minnesota.
He is holding out for fiscal responsibility of a kind that the Democrats have already agreed to. And we shall see if they're willing to keep their word.
A presidential veto would likely mean that the temporary Graham Rudman budget cuts now in place would become permanent. Graham Rudman cuts would cost as many as 160,000 military jobs, spread evenly. That would mean scrapping one Army division, one Marine regiment, two Air Force wings, and mothballing 20 Navy ships. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush today campaigns for two Republican underdogs in next Tuesday's gubernatorial elections. Correspondent Wyatt Andrews has that.
This will be Mr. Bush's second campaign swing through both New Jersey and Virginia, trying to save two Republican candidates for governor, with many experts wondering if this isn't a waste of time. In Virginia especially, President Bush's strong anti-abortion stand has actually hurt the Republican, Marshall Coleman, who is also anti-abortion. And strategists for the Democrat, Doug Wilder, say they are delighted to see Coleman identify himself with the president once again. Wilder's media advisor, Frank Greer.
I think that George Bush has had more of an impact on this race by vetoing several of the funding bills for the victims of rape and incest than he will have by going in and campaigning for Marshall Coleman.
President Bush made the abortion issue more visible by vetoing the District of Columbia budget and the entire budget for Health and Human Services, all because the bills would commit federal funds for certain abortions. Mr. Bush goes to New Jersey and Virginia today, hoping to spread the coattails of his 60% approval rating, but because of the abortion issue, Democrats say he is virtually campaigning for them. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, the White House.
In Nicaragua, Sandinista troops are going after some 3,000 U.S.-supported Contra rebels. Juan Vasquez reports on the newly revived civil war.
The fighting is apparently limited to search and destroy missions rather than large-scale sweeps. The bulk of the Contra fighters are located in camps inside neighboring Honduras, a march of several days from the border and apparently in no danger for the moment. Meanwhile, President Ortega has assumed a more conciliatory posture. He visited Cardinal Miguel Obando y Bravo, a leading Sandinista critic, to say that his ultimate aim is peace for all Nicaraguans, and he labeled the low-key White House response to resume fighting as cautious and constructive. But the political opposition is worried about a government propaganda effort that seeks to link them with the rebels. Alfredo Cesar is a leader of the opposition.
It can create the conditions for a political reaction from some quarters of the Sandinista sympathizers that may be, tempted to take some violent action, even political assassination.
And as the fighting resumes, so do the funerals. The latest to be buried are Sandinista soldiers who were killed earlier this week. Juan Vasquez, CBS News, Managua.
In Colombia's drug war, a car bomb in Bogota has killed a policeman and three other people. Five were wounded. About 4,000 East German refugees have poured into the West German embassy in Prague. Newsman Edward Lucas says Bonn's diplomats are preparing for more.
They're putting up a tents which have at last arrived from West Germany, and that will relieve the overcrowding a bit. But the real question is, what are people going to do? What's going to happen here? And the answer to that is that they will have to go to the West. The embassy can't cope with numbers of this size. If they go to the West, there is no guarantee that the embassy won't be full again in the next couple of days.
Since August, more than 65,000 East Germans have fled to West Germany. In Manila today, a noisy march by some 25,000 supporters of the late Ferdinand Marcos. They're demanding the former president's body be returned for burial in his homeland. That crowd pushed past police barricades and headed for military bases. A decade ago, frenzied Iranians packed the streets denouncing the great Satan, America. They had just pulled off the Islamic Revolution, and on November 4th, 1979, a band of militants stormed the U.S. Embassy, beginning a 444-day hostage crisis. Diplomat Moorhead Kennedy, one of the 52 hostages, looked back this morning.
It does seem a long time ago, but very, very close, and I can still almost feel the way I felt when the embassy was taken, when various things happened.
CBS News correspondent Tom Fenton has just returned from a visit to Iran, including a stop at the former U.S. Embassy compound in Tehran.
Today, faded slogans on the walls of the former embassy still call for defiance of America. Iranian Revolutionary Guards still occupy the sprawling embassy compound. For most of the last 10 years, it has been used as a school and a garrison. But Iran is no longer riding high. 10 years of war and revolution have ruined this country. Its oil industry has been severely damaged. Its revenues have been cut in half. And Iran has lost much of its importance in the great geopolitical game of nations. President Rafsanjani is seeking foreign aid, but the Soviet Union is unable and the West is unwilling to provide the massive funds he needs to rebuild his shattered economy. Inflation and shortages have made everyday life harder for Iranians. They have little to be thankful for as they look back on this anniversary. Many of the middle-class Iranians we met told us they hoped their country would renew relations with the United States. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
South Africa criticized for raising tension in Namibia with unsubstantiated claims of new guerrilla incursions now says it might have been the victim of a hoax. Foreign Minister Pik Botha saying he would be overjoyed if intercepted UN radio messages on which he based his charge turn out to be false. Namibia's pre-independence elections begin next Tuesday. U.S. unemployment was steady in October at 5.3% as an unexpectedly high 233,000 new jobs were created. The dollar is steady overseas. London gold is up $3.60. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead 5.74 at 2637.30. Time on the roundup, 10 minutes past 7.